Good morning and welcome out there on internet land to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and hold to the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has given the church three commands. And in those three commands, all of the scripture is summed up from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we do at the Heart of Christ Church. We love God, we love others, and we go. And today we're going to go into the word of our living Lord, that we may be edified unto him and walk this life that he has given to us. Today, I have the privilege of preaching to you a message that I wrote a little while ago, and I preached it 2 days ago. I preached it to the Gideons in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Thursday and Friday, I was in Harrisburg with several of our Gideons who are here with us today. And I got to bring the Bible message to the Gideons. And the context in which I gave it was to the Gideons and those who were preparing to, again, take scriptures out, getting their things together, and bringing the Pennsylvania group into new leadership with new vision and moving it forward, okay? So it's a little bit different context today, wouldn't you agree? So, Pastor, how are you going to preach this sermon that you prepared for Gideon's? How are you going to preach it for the church? Well, number one, I'm not preaching the same sermon, but I'm preaching the same sermon. What? Different context. Okay? Different application. Can I get an amen? We need to understand this is why it's called the Living Word. Because it speaks to all of us wherever we are. And today, I want to speak to the church, the Heart of Christ Church. I'm going to be in the book of Luke. Please turn there with me, the book of Luke. And I will be in the 9th chapter, and I'm going to begin in the 23rd verse. I'm beginning with the words of Jesus, because again, all of this Bible, all of the book, we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, and he will always be God. I actually taught the Gideons that. Because they all wanted to say was. And I said, wrong chicken. Is God. He never stopped being God. And he won't. So today, from the word of the Lord, from the 23rd verse, we read these words. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. When I read these words, and when you read these words, we understand that Jesus is talking to us about our progressive sanctification. Can I get an amen, church? You know, how many of you now know what progressive sanctification was? And before you met this pastor, you had no idea what it was. We all know what it is now. It is that working out of our faith in fear and trembling. And every day it is a work that we begin anew. Because God brings things to us that have been in us for a long time. God is such a lover of our souls. He doesn't try and change us all at one time. But he changes us daily as we walk with him. And he carries us along. And it is in that walk that when we give ourselves up, we find Christ and we begin to walk anew. And many of you here are experiencing that newness every day. How many of you here are experiencing the newness of Christ every day in a new way? And I'm going to tell you, I think it's amazing because, you know, you think about eternity. How are we going to worship God for all eternity? Are we going to get bored? No, because God is going to show us something new every day. And we're going to have even more reason to worship him. And the glory that we're going to bask in is a glory that we will never grow tired of. Because it will be fresh and new every day. Oh, that's right. There is only one day in eternity because it's never night. Isn't that an amazing concept? It will forever be day. And may we walk in that day, and may we walk that we are truly, truly, truly giving of ourselves, that we are finding the salvation of our souls. And that's where we are. You know, how many of you like looking up front here? I love this. The sanctuary, this sanctuary is probably one of the prettiest sanctuaries. Of course, I'm prejudiced, you know. And I really believe that. You know, the architecture of this building is just fabulous. And with the little touches that we did in here, it's come alive. It was alive before. Can I have an amen from the folks who were here before? Yeah, it was alive before. And now it's alive again. It's alive different. And that's awesome. And together we carry that life. But what I'm talking about is when you look up front here, I got to step down here because I got to see it too. How many of you see what I'm talking about? What color is up there right now? White. What does white represent? Purity. Because we are in Easter season, okay? We're reformists, and we use colors to represent the seasons. And right now, I look up here, and I see the white. What's the next color we're going to get, Miss Marion? Red for one day. One day. We get red one day. Well, then we do get it again at Reformation. Yeah, but we get it for one day. We get red for one day. But why the white? Because this season represents that time of Christ's purification in our lives. And that is such a real part of why we're even here. Because without that purification, none of us would have any reason to be in front of our Lord. Can I get an amen? And that's what I just read to you. It's walking in that purification every day of our lives. And especially here, right after Easter, we're still in Easter season. And I pray that you will hold to that truth. Because from verse 25, it says, "For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" This is the darkness that is in our world, that the world wants to pull you away. It wants to drag you into, always me. Why has it always happened to me? You know, I got two, and this is funny because, I gave this to you earlier for a reason, because it's part of my sermon. I don't have a vehicle that's running properly anymore. My wife does. But I got to take them and have them worked on. For the last 3 weeks, I have been joying in the Lord. It was Easter week. How many of you loved Easter week? How many of you look forward to the week after Easter? We had beautiful weather for the first time in a while, and it was good. But your pastor was busier than busy could be. And this past week, I had 2 days of EA meetings. I had 2 days of meeting with Gideons. And now I'm here on Sunday, and I'm praising Jesus. Can I get an amen? And guess who didn't like it? The devil didn't like it, so he took out my Jeep and he took out my truck. And I'm going to say to you, you can take out all the world because you can't touch my eternity. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the joy of the Lord is in the house, and it's going to stay because I don't need all this other stuff. I got to get stuff to get by, but you know what? I got people. And they can help me out. And that's what I look forward to. Because God has put all of us in this together. So none of us are alone. And we can smile and we can laugh at the devil who wants us to get all wrapped up in all this other stuff. And we can say, "See you later, dude." And I love it. You know, did you ever have a pastor do stuff like that before? Probably never will again. Praise Jesus. But that's where my spirit is, and I pray yours is. Because this is how real life is. This is how real our God is. And you know, he's not some stuffy God. He's a God that wants to meet us where we are. That's why he put us here. If he wanted to meet us on the mountaintop, we'd all be on the mountaintop singing kumbaya. We're not. We're in the valleys. We're in the ditches. We're in life. And he says, "And I want you to have life abundant and have it to the full." And that's where I want to walk. But we need to watch out for something. And this is verse 26 and 27. says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truly, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. I love that verse because, number one, I am not ashamed. That is the scripture title. And I'm going to ask you today, can you make that proclamation with me? Because if you can, I want you to say it. I am not ashamed. Amen. And may our lives work that out. That as things come, we're able to laugh at this stuff. And we are willing to speak the name of Jesus Christ at the drop of a hat simply because he is why we are as happy as we are. And he is the reason for our life and living. Because when we do, guess what happens? Verse 27 comes true. Because we are living in the kingdom when? Now. We are seeing the kingdom when? Now. We don't need to wait until we die. Well, I'm just going to wait until right before I die, and then I'm going to accept Jesus. Well, how's that going to work out for you? Do you know the day and the hour that you're going to check out? I don't think any of us do. But praise be to God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the hour of salvation. And may we choose to walk in it and walk with him and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's to that avail that I want to talk to you today. Because it is in that ability to say, I am not ashamed. And what that looks like in our lives. Because a lot of people think that that means that you speak something bad about Jesus. No, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. There's a whole lot more. And I want us to understand the world wants us to walk as though we're ashamed because the world wants us to walk and not proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that? You know, there for a while, we weren't supposed to say Merry Christmas. We were supposed to say Happy Holidays. Well, I celebrate Christmas. I don't know what other holiday you're celebrating. You know, I celebrate Easter. You know, it's not spring break. So when I think about being ashamed, I have to think about it in right mind. Turn to in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 16 through 25. And again, I'm going to break that up. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in 16. And again, we're reminded of these words. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, when I think about these verses this first verse, I'm not ashamed, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation. I expect answers from my church. It is the power of God unto
salvation.
Awesome. The Gideons did better. I'm picking on them, Mick. When we think of what we have, oh my goodness, do you understand what he is telling us there? When we think about the things that are going to come at us in this world, and there's a lot of stuff that's going to come at us in this world, we have every reason to joy in what God is doing in our lives because we have the power of salvation in our souls, in our very being. He is called the Holy Spirit. And when we walk in the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that we have to fear. There is nothing that can defeat us. Now, does that mean everything's going to go well? No, we're in a broken body. How many of you realize you're getting older? I'll tell you right now, I want to be 90 years old and able to walk the Appalachian Trail. I keep telling y'all I want to be here until I'm 120. Moses got that much time. I think about where we are, and am I ashamed to speak these truths? And may they speak through my life, not necessarily that I have to say them, but that I need to let God out. How many of you in this room need to let God out just a little bit more? And I'm telling you, that is a reality that we all have to walk in, because, man, it gives your body life. It gives you reason to go and do and be, because, hey, I can get all wrapped up in this world and sit in my house and say, woe is me, and the next thing you know, I'm going to be a 450-pound Tony sitting on a fat chair. And what good am I going to be? Absolutely none to myself nor anybody else. And I'm not picking on people that are overweight. I'm not. I meant that spiritually. We can be spiritually fat. Do you understand what I mean by that? Where we're of no use to anybody. And we just fill it up. We just take it in, take it in, take it in, take it in. Man, take it in and let him out. You'd be surprised how much more you're able to accomplish in this world. For in the righteousness of God, verse 17, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, I'm amazed, because there's a lot of people who would say to me and come at me and say, well, you know, Lord, you know, it says here in verse 16 that we've entrusted something to him. And in that, Lord, you know, what am I supposed to do? And how does this work? Because, you know, if I'm to share my faith, how do I know this other person's going to have enough faith to even believe? I don't want you to even worry about that. Because it does say here that the righteousness of God goes on from faith to faith, right? Whose faith is he talking about? Does anybody have any idea? Well, guess what Romans 3:3 says? Let me read it to you. It says to us, what if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. You see, when we are being faithful to Christ, when we are allowing our lives to speak the unashamedness that we have of Jesus Christ, God will meet that in another person. How many of you have ever been out there walking on the street and you have strike up a conversation with somebody, no matter where it may be? It just happened to me a couple of weeks ago in the doctor's office. I'm sitting there waiting to get blood work done and started up a conversation, and I loved it. This gentleman looked at me and he says, you know that sheepishness? Are you a Christian? I said, I'm a big one. I'm a pastor. And it was funny because, you know, he was expecting a yes or a no. But, you know, I'm a pastor. Man, he shrunk away. And I'm like, no, man, come on back out. Come on back out. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot in common here, dude. But it was just so funny. And I loved it. Because how many of you find Christians out there in the world and all of a sudden they're just walking and looking and loving, and it's like you met a brother you haven't seen in weeks, months, years, and there's a commonality. And oh my goodness, why is that? Because of the faithfulness of God. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. There are people out there that don't have a whole lot of faith. There are people out there who are wondering and clamoring because they're looking for something. And the evil one wants them looking everywhere else but at Jesus. And guess who you are to them? You are Jesus to them. You are the aroma of Christ to them. And that's what we need to remember. And when you are that aroma, allow Christ to exude from you. And oh, what a glory it is. What a glory it is. Because all of a sudden, these people who may doubt, who just don't know, but they're hoping, the faithfulness of God meets them, just like he did us. Isn't that how we believed? It wasn't nothing we did. It was God meeting us in the mix of our lives and bringing the salvific work of Jesus Christ to who we were. Broken, sinners, hating God. And he transformed us to sons and daughters who love him and seek after him with all our hearts. And what does he say when we seek after him with all our heart, we will be found and we will find him. Praise be his name. Praise to the glory of God. Remember, we come what? With the power of God in us. We aren't coming weak. We are coming filled with Christ and his hope. And that hope is sure, and we all know it. How many of you are thinking you might get to heaven? How many of you know you're going to heaven? Amen. Isn't there a difference? And today, I'm going to say this to you. If you're in the congregation and, well, you know, I'm just not so sure, you can be sure. How can I be sure? It's this simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe that he was resurrected? And do you believe that he sits at the right hand of God the Father? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. Just spoke it. Do you believe? And what does God say? If you believe, you are saved. You are saved. You know. He says, I tell you these things so you might guess. No, he didn't. He said, I tell you these things that you may
know.
There's no doubt in that word. So may we hold to it. And may we walk in it. Because as we walk in it, there's a promise here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in the speculations. For they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was hardened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among men. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Now, Pastor, you just read that and you told me there's a promise in there. Yeah, it is. How many of you caught it? How many of us in this room are destined for wrath? Zero, none. There's your promise. We are in Christ Jesus. We will not see the wrath of God. We're going to be taken out of here before the wrath of God is released on this world. Can I get an amen? You and I need to understand, when you read the Bible, there are promises in there that sometimes we don't see because it's talking a negative. Well, if it's a negative for something going on, then what's the opposite of it? If you're being on that side, you are finding the promise of God. You are finding the will of God. You're finding the heart of God. The opposite of what he's saying is coming is what's coming for you. So we're not here for wrath. We are here for what? Glory in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen out of the church? And as we walk in that reality, we see the need to not be ashamed, because there are so many people that walk around in this world looking to everything and anything else other than the sanctifying grace of God through the cross of Calvary, which is foolishness to men, but it is salvation unto those of us who are believing. Can I get an amen? Woo! How many of you are pumped up this morning? You think Pastor is? And I got a truck out here that I want to sell. Oh my. Just think, these Gideons, they had no idea what was coming at them. And Dennis was so bold as to tell them, yeah, we get to hear that guy every week. Poor dude. Folks, We have every reason to not be ashamed, but to love him and walk in him and allow him to exude from us. We are in Easter season. Oh, man, how many of you got goosebumps right now? I certainly do. Holy geez. And Pete turned the heat on today. So everybody say thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
For those of you who weren't here last week, it was a little cold. Oh, my. You know, when you derail the train, it's hard to get it back on track. But the reality is we are on track, because how many people in this world are uncomfortable because of the lives that they're living? And how many of them are looking for that which brings comfort? And we know the comfort. We know the hope. We know that which is good. We know him. He has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is our Lord and Savior. And we pour ourselves out to him, because there is a darkness in this world. And it can be very discouraging when you are out there and you're trying to be light and you see all the darkness that is out there. And it's so funny. We can laugh and we can have a good time and we can joke. You know, how many people would be upset at a lot of the things that, you know, I'm joking about a truck, okay? There are some people that would be everything to them. You know, I want you to think about this. How many people, their phones are everything. And if they get two or three bad comments on their Twitter account or their Facebook or whatever, they're devastated. Man, I don't need any of that, because I work to please one. I work to please one. And I long for the day that I will hear seven very fateful words. And I pray you do too. But I'm not at that point in my sermon yet. So what do we have to do? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 1, from the 8th verse. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted unto him until that day. Brothers and sisters, we have no need to be ashamed of the gospel. Whether in word or in deed, in being, in any way, shape, or form. And that's what I want you to remember. That's what I want you to walk. Walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let the full light of day shine in your face. And I'm talking the light of Christ. You all know that, right? I'm talking the glory that we're going to be in, because we're already in the kingdom. We are living in that kingdom time right now. We are living as eternal people right now. And may we see and understand that there are going to be things that come against us. There are going to be things that we are going to deal with. But as we live out this life, remembering what it says here in verse 12, For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him unto that day. And as we hold to that truth and we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, progressive sanctification, when we get before him, it is my hope for each and every one of you as well as myself. It's the only thing I want in all of life. And I have life eternal, but it's the only thing I want in life is to live such a life that I will hear the seven words of perfection. Well done, my good and faithful servant. May we all hear those words and realize God is pleased, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you in this beautiful day. And Lord, I ask that you would guide each and every heart here today. And Lord, I know that there's folks here that have been walking, struggling with some issues. And Father, I just ask that they would turn it all over to you and not be ashamed to walk in the glory of your love. And for those out there on the internet, Lord, that are wandering and wondering and saying, could it be, could it be? Lord, I pray that they too would understand it's this simple. It really is. You've made it simple. Because you don't want it to be complicated for us. Life's complicated enough. In fact, it's so complicated that you sent your son to take away that complication. So I pray, Lord, for those who are out there to simply believe, repent, and receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as we walk together in that truth, Lord, may our lives proclaim from the depths of our souls to the loudness of our voice, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is my Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.